continue on our study of Moses. And one of the things that I've been learning in the last year especially is to just be so sensitive to what God wants. I spent so much of my life being sensitive to what I wanted, which is a very miserable way to exist, but to be sensitive to what He wanted. And even last weekend, last Sunday, I shared 5 times. And each time when I got up to share, I just kept waiting, Lord, what do you want me to say? How long do you want me to speak? And specifically, I can't even say that word, do you want me to share, especially in the Sunday school classes and sharing with the missions committee. And then Monday I met with the men of the church. I just was open to what God wanted. It was really neat to do that. Not do what I wanted, but do what He wanted. And this message today is what the Lord wants, not what I wanted. I wanted to get on going into some good stuff on ahead. And the Lord said, whoa, fella, I want you to get into the 15th chapter. And I said, oh, Lord, there's not a lot in here, is there? And He says, look again. And He gave me some stuff out of here that I think we need, especially in our time. You know, it's amazing how many of us have been going through some tough times. Lois isn't here this morning, but Lois is leaving, and Lois is packing, and she had her house hit and tore up the north side of it, and it was filled up with hail and stuff. There's a lot of damage, and just to lose her husband and then be moving out and then have that happen to her house has been a real traumatic thing. And then Laverne is leaving, and Bonnie and the Blacks have just been up in the air trying to find a job. Don't know whether they're staying or leaving. And so there's a lot of things that some of us have been having other areas of trials. The Lord just said to me, why don't you preach the message that's in here? And so I just went to Him, and here's what He gave me today. I titled it, Time Out. Time Out for Praise. I think what we forget, maybe, is that the timeouts of life that really give us the refreshing we need. You know, vacation's good, and we always come back and recuperate from vacation. We do. You always go because you need a vacation, you need to get a rest, and then when you get back, you're tired when you left, so you're glad to get back. Especially if you travel 3,000 miles with joy in your front seat, and it wasn't the joy of the Lord, it was a little joy, poor Bill, didn't like the ride in the back of the car. Boy, by the time we got home, we still had to get out of the front seat. But it was fun. We had a good time, and the kids really enjoyed it. We really enjoyed seeing what God could do. We prayed when we left. It was our first day was so neat. We just prayed, Lord, you lead us to stop where you want us to stop. You just do each step of the way. And we prayed God would do things and give us chances to share, open up unique opportunities, and we just had a good trip like that. We pray on our way, each way, and had some interesting things happen too, but I won't get into it now because I got a message to preach. Time Out for Praise. This is our Desert Survival Series, and this will be probably one of the most essential things to remember in surviving in our Christian life. And I'm just amazed at myself that I didn't see these things before. But the Lord has a way of opening things up at the right time. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, now you do that which you want to do. Lord, I'm just trying to be dead to self, dead to sin, and just alive to you and what you want. Lord, you've opened up the extra opportunities in Michigan. I knew they were there. And I really didn't want to go. I didn't want to be traveling extra time, but we land that before you. You're opening it up and you'll take care of it. You know, I'd better be here. And I think, Father, that you're trying to teach us just to let you be the Lord of our life. We spend so much time doing what we want to do, and we get upset and aggravated and bitter if things don't go our way. But we'll learn as you teach us. Now you open up to us this passage this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with you before, I think, about the little woodcutter. I was listening to a message. This guy was up in Canada with Bill McLeod, and this is a true story. The guy went out there and he chopped wood, and when nobody was looking, he would get a file and file off the top of his stump. Because when they come along, the other guys, he didn't want them to come along and say, hey, look, you're a beaver. You know, he had it all chopped up. And the thing was that they would look down through the trees sometimes from the top of a hill, and they'd see him down there and look around and file him away, so it looked like he made a smooth cut. But the thing was, he wasn't getting any trees cut. And a lot of times we're like that. We just get behind. Like another fellow that was number one in the wood chopping, in the lumberjacks up there where they chop with the axe. And he's number one, and the second day he moved to number two position, third day he moved to number three position, on down to where he was the bottom. Well, how'd he get from the top to the bottom? Well, he found out he wasn't taking time out to sharpen his axe. He wanted to get right to it. Now, we all need these breaks, these timeouts. You know, sports, we need our timeouts. Basketball, we kid yourself, we don't have a timeout. Football, soccer, whatever, even our cars need timeouts. You know, the time for maintenance, our bodies need the timeout. Well, the timeout for the Christian is what? Prayer. And the Lord's been teaching me just to have an attitude of praise. What a timeout is to sports, praise is to the believer. And it's not that I take time out and go over here and praise the Lord. It's that I praise the Lord all the time, and that is my timeout. That is my resting in the Lord. That's the relaxing. It's just been such a peaceful life to let the Lord. We had one trial down in Texas, and I just praised the Lord. It was one of those dumb things, but I hopped out of the car at a rest stop, out in the middle of nowhere, going from nowhere to out to nowhere, and out in West Texas. Really, we were coming from Dallas, heading down to Midland, but we stopped at a rest stop, and I hopped out. Where's my billfold? Oh, I couldn't find my billfold. And, so I got back and I looked in the car real quick and couldn't find it. And I was like, oh no, I must have lost it in the motel with my pants. I took them off and I figured they probably dropped down in my pocket and got kicked under the bed or something. And there we were out in the middle of Texas. And so we just praised the Lord and committed it to Him. We find the phone and call back and see if they found it. And Vicki said, did you check the front seat real good? Well, she knows how I check things. So I went back and checked all over, and I found it. It pushed way back up under the seat. It came out, and so we found it. But the thing was, it was a test of attitude. You know, just praise the Lord. Okay, we lost the billfold, you know. And so we found it. And that's what life is like when we just have the attitude of praise. Life without our timeouts is hard. Life without praise is hard. And this is the passage that we have here. Now here's the setting. They just come through the Red Sea. They just come out of tremendous pressure. And now they're going to go into tremendous pressures. Life is just pressure. But God is leading them. And now what He does, He stops, they stop, and Moses gives this song. It's a song of praise in Exodus 15. I would like to read it off to you, but we're just going to pick out certain parts of it. But the Lord wanted them to praise Him after He delivered them. And He wanted them to keep praising Him. But the things that we learn from this, I think, will be very practical. You know what happens when we cease to praise the Lord? You know what? The Bible says, I was looking over Psalms 107 at some things, and I got over to Psalms 106, and I found out there's some more things connected to this. Psalms 106 is giving the record of this deliverance. In Psalms 106, it tells how He saved them for His name's sake by His mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and He come on down. It says in verse 12, then they believed His words, and they sang His praise. That's Exodus 15. And the very next thing is, they soon forgot His words, and they waited not for His counsel. The Lord has taught me basically from this passage, when I'm not praising Him all the time, I forget Him. And there was a neat passage over in Philippians, but I'm not going to go get it. But it says, in everything we give thanks. And as soon as I stop it in everything, even for the flat tires, Lord, even for this and that, everything. Because when I do it in everything, I acknowledge Him. And that's why this song was given, that they would acknowledge Him. It says they soon forgot Him. Down in verse 21, it says they forgot God. They forgot God, their Savior. If someone saved you, literally pulled you out of a burning house, pulled you out of a wrecked car, pulled you out of some treacherous situation, would you forget them? I don't think I'll ever forget the people that pulled me out of the water when I was drowning. Mom and Dad talked over that situation. Both my sister and I almost drowned in this one lake. But I remember going up and down and drowning. And I remember my mom saw me, finally saw me over there and told these people that were nearby. And they turned around and grabbed me. I won't forget them. How can we forget God? Well, that's what happens when we don't praise Him. We forget Him. And when we praise, we remember. When we praise, we remember. You go through Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6. God was telling them, you remember me. You remember me. He warns them. Now, I want to just go through quickly about five things, five keys to praise in this 15th chapter of Exodus. And I was really anxious to get into some things. As we get, really, Israel's going to go through several tests. I can't remember how many there were. I think there were seven major tests, and I wanted to get into that. But the Lord really got to show me some things here. When do we praise the Lord? Look at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. I think we praise the Lord when you're set free. One of the reasons maybe you don't praise the Lord all the time, and maybe I don't, is because we're not really free. We're in some kind of a bondage. We're bonded to a fear. Man, we've been having some bad weather, I hear. That's a good time to go on vacation, I guess. I understand eight pinners was down during the worst storm, never knew anything yet. At least down in the basement. But can you praise Him when your crops get wiped out, when your car gets a big branch knocked over it? And Van Hoos had a branch fall in their house, but it didn't tear it up. And what about the tornado that came through, you know, take everything away? Can you walk out and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm still alive, my family's okay? Yeah. We praise Him when we're free. And so there they were. They were up on the other side of the bank, and they're singing this song. And they're praising the Lord. I believe we praise Him when we're free. Praise is the song of the heart that is free. And so one of the things we can look for in others that say they're Christians is we can look for that song. Are they free? You look in their eyes and see if they're really free. You see if they're bound by some kind of fear. But do you have a testimony of the Lord saving you? And then do you have the testimony of the song in your heart? Are you free? You know? If you're in bondage, there's three things that won't be in your life. Won't be in life. There won't be any song, there won't be any joy, and there won't be any praise. It won't be there. And I've found that the most relaxing thing, or the most relaxing life, is just to let God do whatever He wants to do. And it's not always easy because we forget that He will lead and direct, and He'll guide. When we went over to Carlsbad Caverns, we were nearby there. We got there about just a few minutes after the gates, the door closed to go into the cave, so we couldn't get into it. That meant we had to spend go get an extra place to stay. So we got a tent, got a site, put up our tent, and we got ate up by these little bitty creatures that night. Well, just praise the Lord for all these little bites. They were like mosquito bites, but you didn't itch very much. But you're just covered with them. Your face looked like a plague when you walked in someplace. People would say, just a minute. You know? They didn't pray in the Lord for these things. They soon went away. But you can get upset. Hungry dog of this plague. You know? This one guy really, what did he say to me? He really got hurt. She went into the store. He'd been seeing a lot of it. And there's some kind of little insect around there biting people. But I know what he said. She went into the store and he's asking about that. He says, oh, yeah. And then when she went to leave, he says, oh, by the way, bats are really attracted to those bites. And she, we are fixed to go into a cave with a quarter million bats. You know, he really had some fun with it. But just praise the Lord, whatever happens. Now, why do we praise? There's three things here I found. Three reasons why we praise the Lord. In verse 1, then sang the song of Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, and here's why, for He had triumphed gloriously. You know, if God did it at the cross for you, He shed His blood and died on the cross and set you free, why should we have anything else to worry about? And there's a scripture in Romans that tells us that if He loved us enough to die for us on the cross, how much more will He care for us later on? And in You look in the scriptures, Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything. In Matthew 6, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be taken care of. Your food, clothing, shelter. Why do we get upset? I believe mostly because we cease praising Him. We get used to praising Him. Oh, well, praise the Lord. You know, I didn't really need that anyway. You know, just praise the Lord. Now, here's something else. Not only do we praise Him because He's triumphant, but we praise Him because He satisfies. Over in Psalms 107, really I got a lot of stuff out of Psalms 107. I got to going into that Psalm, that was right after 106, and I got to looking over there because I had four things highlighted. These four verses say exactly the same thing. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Four times it says that. And each four things is in a different setting. One of them is the first one. He goes right after that, for He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies. I praise Him because He satisfies. The world doesn't satisfy, but He does. You know, we were down in Midland, Texas last week. This time, last Sunday, was down there. In that church service with lots of people out there. You know, any church that has 4,000 people coming to church, they got 2,000 or better in their Sunday school alone. You can't imagine. I was telling them earlier, you could put four of our buildings in their sanctuary alone. Their building covered two blocks. We spent our day lost, and it's like, it's huge. But it's interesting, as they took us around and drove and showed some of the homes in that area, castles, you know, how they said some of these people have been living such shallow lives. They've been living off all of this wealth, and all of a sudden they've been lost everything. They couldn't have their home, their car, or nothing. And it just showed how vanity, how life is just a vapor. All of a sudden everything you think is important is gone. And they didn't have anything. They had to give all their cars back and everything because the oil just went down. The oil just went out. And then, you know, and I wrote this down at the bottom of my page here on this note, and I was thinking about that with this verse. He satisfies Him. We praise Him because He satisfies. He satisfies all the time those who trust Him all the time. He satisfies all the time those who trust Him all the time. Now here's something else. We praise Him because He broke our bands of sin. Psalms 107, another thing, 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. I believe that when you have been set free, when I have been set free, that the natural thing is just to praise the Lord and you're free. If you're free from sin, the bondage of sin, loneliness, a complex of some kind, inferiority complex, or depression, discouragement, or fear, or whatever, you'll have praise. But if you don't have praise, then there's something that's binding you. There's something that's binding you. And I'll share this because I have spent so many years in little bondage, didn't realize it. It's really tremendous to be free. Here's something else that praise will do. Not only will praise, when to praise, why do we praise, but what will praise do? I found this in Psalms also. Praise will make you do things for the Lord. In Exodus 15:2, remember Moses is singing this song, and in the next verse, he says, he triumphs in verse 1, gloriously, the horse and his rider have dethroned in the sea, a reference to Satan. Also, you can find that in Revelation. Verse 2, he says, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. I never noticed this before, but Moses said, I want to prepare Him a place to live with me. And I believe that when we're set free, we want God to just be in our life and do in our life whatever He wants. If someone did save you, you'd want that. And so He says, I will prepare Him a habitation. Now, how does that apply to the Christian today? We can't prepare him a place to live like they did. They went out in the desert and made a tent out of badger skins and other types of material, and they hauled that thing all around the desert. And whenever they stopped, they put up the tent, and God would dwell there in that tent. Where does he dwell today? In this tent, in this body. And this is why the Bible says, you know, when a printer writes out letters, he puts this one verse among some other verses on there. He puts 1 Peter 1:16, which says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." If praise is in my life, I will want to do something for him. And one of the things I can do is just keep myself clean, my body clean, my mind clean, so the Spirit of God can work through me. Calls for a clean house. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, "What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwells within you?" He says, don't you know that? Your temple is the body of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. When I am praising him, I will want him to live and dwell within me. So we praise him because he broke our bands of sin, and then we come to find out that praise will want him to do something. Praise carries us, causes us to love him, to sacrifice for him. Can I share a little extra thing with you? In Psalms 107, I ran across something that's strange. It's called the sacrifice of thanksgiving, which is similar to the sacrifice of praise. Psalms 107, in verse 21, "All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness," to slip down to 22, "and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." Do you know what the sacrifice of thanksgiving is? I'm sure what I think it is. I think the sacrifice of thanksgiving is when you want to cry and you praise him instead. When you want to cry and you praise instead, that's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now let me give you an illustration. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, God had told them to go over to Macedonia. They got over there and they got to preaching and they got into trouble. They got thrown into jail. They were beaten with stripes. They were humiliated. They had their clothes taken off. They were beaten. And after they were beaten, they were treated like criminals. He was a Roman citizen in a town, a Roman province. But they took him, and they took him, and they threw him in the prison. It says he slammed him into the prison. They threw the stocks on their feet, put the chains on them, and there they were, bleeding down in this dungeon area in the innermost prison, bleeding and beat up, humiliated. And what did they do? Praise him the Lord. Now, if that was you and I, what would we be doing? Wait till I get out of here. I'm going to find a good lawyer. Paul could have done that, you know that? He was a citizen. Not only was he a citizen, where he came from, he would have been one of the dignitaries because of his training and education. But there they are down there just praising the Lord. What did they do? Ended up tearing the prison apart. God tore the prison apart to get him out, and the jailer got saved, and we've got this good illustration to teach us how to praise the Lord. When you want to cry and you praise instead, that's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Well, where do you praise? Psalms 107, 31, 32. Just picking up a couple more things. You praise him. It says, "Let us exalt him also in the congregation of the people," everywhere. Have you ever wanted to witness to somebody but you didn't have anybody to witness to? We just get in some place where there's some people and then just let out a big, "Praise the Lord!" Then you'll have a crowd gathered around you. You know, what's this not doing? You know, people are looking. You got their attention? Then tell them about the Lord. Let me get out of there before you do it. But if you would just praise the Lord and have the attitude of praise, he'll give you these opportunities to share. And I had an opportunity with this old grouchy patrolman to share the Lord in Russia. I had to go get my driver's license done, and I got in there, and I couldn't do it very quick. He wanted to get going home early or whatever. But I got in there, first thing he says, I don't think you have time to take it. And he didn't know, man, if I don't take it now, I won't get it for 3 weeks, and it's going to be due. you know, in the second walk, my birthday's up. And so he's trying to put the pressure on me, you know, to get it done. And so I sat down and he put, you know, and I got it done, the whole thing in about 10 minutes. And he had 20 minutes to spare. And he made it this one. If I studied it, I'd probably passed it. Well, how many seconds do you follow behind a car? It's two, in case you don't study the test. I have to put four. Anyway, well, this guy does this to me. I'm going to do something to him. So I went out the door, got a track out, and come back in. Here! Let me give you something to read. Little thing about Jesus. Put the pressure on him. And I went back out. Yeah, just whatever. If you're going to get into some bias and pressure, we don't have to live under pressure. The unsaved have got to live under pressure. And that guy's probably got some pressure now. Keep praying for that patrolman, state trooper, you know. Lord, save that guy. Try to put the pressure on my preacher. You put the pressure on him and save him. When we get to eternity, we're going to find out all these tracks everywhere you go. Don't you leave your tracks? All over the country. We leave tracks everywhere, you know. Leave your tracks. We're going to find this person got saved from that track. Or maybe he didn't get saved, or maybe somebody else found it when he threw it away. And God's going to put all of this together. Because you were praising me, and you were telling people about me, and doing whatever you could, wherever you went, I was able to do this and that. Live expectantly. You know, I believe, I expect God to do things. When I remember in the mornings, I don't do it in the morning, I forget. But when I remember in the mornings, I ask God to do something unusual today. You're an unusual God. You're not a normal God, so do something unusual today. He said, okay, today you're going to lose your willpower. I think you lost your willpower, you know. Or today we did this and that. We had an interesting time everywhere we went. Because God can trust us to praise Him. He can do these unusual things. I don't know what He's going to do today. I can't bear if I ask Him. He can do something. I didn't think I did. But believe Him to do something. Believe Him to use you. And then when it happens, you know you can praise Him for doing it. Well, you praise Him in the congregation of the people and then also among each other. But I want to close up on this. Who praises Him? One of the things that is also always, for years, ever since I've been really getting in close and word, for the last 20 years, it's amazing how many people can be in church and call themselves a Christian, but yet they never talk about Jesus. They never have time to pray, to spend time with Him. They never have time for those things. Who praises Him? You know, the scripture says that the saved praise Him. Those that are set free. In 15:2, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Who praises Him? The redeemed. Psalms 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Would it embarrass you to get up right now and say, Jesus is my Savior, I love Him? If it would, maybe you better examine yourself, as Paul said to the Corinthians, what do you say? The redeemed. David said, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and become my salvation. Do you know what the Bible says about praise in relation to the unsaved? The Bible says the dead praise not the Lord. The dead, the spiritually dead, do not praise the Lord. Neither any that go down into silence. A powerful verse. That's Psalms 115:17 if you want it. Praise is the song of the heart of the soul that's set free. Are you free? Are you? Are you free? If you're free, then God can do whatever He wants to with you. The people that we stayed with were really beautiful people. They were ranchers down 150 miles south from Midland. And they were really trying to make it at ranching and farming. And every time he shared how, I think for 5 years in a row, he didn't have any crops. And of course, you know how the cattle is. No money on the crops, no money on the cattle. And he finally, I think the sixth year, he gave it back to an aunt or something and said, well, you're going to have it back. She put it, she had some old guy come in and he'd run around a little bit, race, and put some seed down in a big old bumper crop. He says, I want it back. He got it back the next year and nothing. And they began to say, well, God, are you trying to say something to us? They loved it. They had they inherited their ranch. They had their ranch there. They were both, his wife and him, had were ranchers. but they couldn't make it. They owed money all over the place, but he had a little hobby of finding oil for other people. And he could find oil for other people. He was a geophysicist, which means he'd go out and put the instruments down and set off the depth charges and then read the charts, and he could find the oil. And it worked out to where God says, I want you out of this business of renting, and I want to use you over in this business. But whatever I want you to have, I'm going to give it to you. And the reason they had to do that was because he kept trying to invest money in these wells, and whichever ones he would put money in would never produce any oil. And those he'd go find oil for other people, you know, get paid a little salary or something for doing that, but you wouldn't get the percentage. And so he said, okay, the Lord told him that they were to find oil, but he would give them what he wanted to have. The very day that they said, okay, Lord, we're walking out of the ranching business and going into the oil business, he told us, somebody that was doing this stuff, he said, go sell everything. Sell the cattle, sell everything. All the cattle were sold. That very day, a guy walked up and said, we're going to give you 1% of this well that you just found oil. He said, nobody does that in Texas. Nobody just walks up and gives you a percentage of their oil well. He said, the very day we did that, God said, we're going to give you what we want you to have. Those are very neat people, just common people we live with, and it's just beautiful to hear their testimony. And they just praise the Lord, and their home is, well, we got there, they said that we invited a few people over for barbecue. Man, they had the preacher and one of the associates. I think there were six pastors in the church, or six associates or something, but they had a whole gob of people present meet. And one of the associates that comes over their lot says, they're like this all the time. They have people here all the time. They just love the Lord, love people, and do for the Lord. Just praise the Lord. Who praises Him? Those that are set free. The dead praise not the Lord. If you're not saved, you're not going to praise the Lord. Well, I don't think we can survive in this old desert without praise. Our problems are too big. The pressures are tough. You know? I can't. Sometimes I share with you some of the things that we have for pressure, but I really can't share all of them. You might feel sorry for me, or you might feel like I'm asking for something. But it's really neat when you can go through something and it doesn't wrinkle your spirit. A lot of times we get bent out of shape, don't we? But it's really neat when you can go through a trial and it doesn't wrinkle your spirit. That shows that we are really practicing what we're preaching. Life is hard without praise. It's hard. Praise makes it bearable. Life is hard without Jesus. And having Jesus in our heart and life is okay, but to go and live without praise makes it hard. I saw a bumper sticker. It's the most astounding bumper sticker I've ever seen in my life. I was coming back from somewhere down in my hometown, and on the back of this navy blue car with this bumper sticker, and it says, life is hard, then you die. And I was thinking about that. I thought about that for a couple weeks, trying to figure out, what is that saying? Life is hard, then you die. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked that. That is a powerful salvation sticker. Life is hard, then you die. But life is bearable with Jesus and when we praise Him. So chapter 15, you're going to have to read it for yourself because I didn't get to get into it. You just have to read it for yourself. Praise is good preparation for desert dwellers. And God says, hold it before you guys are going to take off, get out in this desert. I want you to learn this song. Because if you don't sing this song, you're going to die in this desert. Praise is the song of the heart that's set free. And it's not just where we're praising the Lord, but it's the attitude. The attitude. We don't have to go around like a fool all the time. There's times to praise the Lord verbally, and I do it quite a bit. But it's an attitude. And that's what measures high on the Richter scale. Remember that little poem I read, Madame Gayo? A little bird am I? Shut from the fields of air, and she was put in prison because she was a Christian and wouldn't deny it. A little bird am I, shut from the fields of air, and in my cage I sit and sing to him who placed me there.
well pleased a prisoner to be, because my God, it pleaseth thee. Nothing have I else to do. I sing the whole day long, and he whom most I love to please doth listen to my song. He caught and bound my wandering wing, but still he bends to hear me sing. Thou hast an ear to hear, a heart to love and bless, and though my notes were ever so rude, thou wouldest not hear the lust, because thou knowest, as they fall, that same sweet love inspires them all. My cage confines me round. Abroad I cannot fly, but though my wing is closely bound, my heart's at liberty. My prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of the soul. Oh, it's good to the soul, these bolts and bars above, to him whose purpose I adore, whose providence I love, and in thy mighty will to find the joy, the freedom of the mind. Praise is the song of the heart that's set free. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you that you gave it to us. I didn't dig it up somewhere. I didn't get it out of the book. But you gave us this message. You teach us forever to believe that you are truly sovereign. Nothing touches our lives but what we're alive. Many times we kick and scuff and fuss and grumble and complain against somebody else, maybe even against the preacher for doing something the way we don't think he should, our neighbor for doing something we don't think they should, our relative. When in reality, you have maybe allowed that thing to happen just that way, to draw out of our soul that bitter thing that we could see ourselves. That we would learn to just die for self and let you do whatever you want to do in our life. Thank you, Father, for giving us this message in Jesus' name. Amen.